Bruce Fleming has been teaching English at the Naval Academy in Annapolis, Maryland for 25 years. He's also an outspoken critic of the Academy and the other service academies, Army, Air Force, and the Coast Guard. In the Chronicle of Higher Education, he writes that the service academies are no longer indispensable for producing officers, don't attract the best and brightest, don't hold cadets or midshipmen to a higher moral standard, don't teach leadership. Well, with two wars winding down, we wondered, what's the impact of this? You can read his article at hereandnow.org as Bruce joins us from the NPR studios in D.C. So, Bruce, how do you really feel about the academies?
I love the concept of the academies. I'm devoted 100% to what they say they are. What's frightening is the vast gulf between their sorry reality and what they purport to be.
Well, I should, a little disclosure here. High school boyfriend went to Annapolis. He was the captain of the lacrosse team. He was a top student. He worked his butt off. I remember first year, plebe year, he wasn't allowed to see anybody. And everyone seemed to be in the same pool of working really hard, trying to hold to a higher standard. What aren't you seeing?
I'm not seeing anything that even remotely corresponds to what we say. You had a long list of things. Gosh, where to start?
Well, you call it a kind of military Disneyland.
It works really well for the tourists. Tourists love to come see us. We have beautiful buildings. The students look nice. This is true of all the service academies, but probably Annapolis is the most accessible. We have football teams that play Division I and so on. There are parades. That's the sense in which it's Disneyland. But for those of you who've been to any of the Disney theme parks, you know that Mickey and Minnie don't speak. And the same thing is true with midshipmen. Midshipmen are not allowed to speak to reporters, for example. They have to refer everything to the public affairs officer. The control by the administration of the information coming out is near total. And what a lot of American taxpayers who are the 100% owners of the service academies, I need to emphasize, these are not public universities. They are federal institutions that exist for one reason only, and that is to produce officers for, in our case, the Navy and Marine Corps, Army, in the case of Army, and so on. But only one in five officers comes from a service academy. What most taxpayers don't understand either is that they're ferociously expensive. They are far and away the single most expensive way of producing an officer. For comparables, the ROTC program, which is embedded in civilian colleges and universities, costs one-fourth of what the service academies cost. One service academy officer costs around $400,000 averaged out. So the cheapest officer production pipeline is what's called Officer Candidate School, OCS, which is about an eighth of the level of the service academies, all of which proves that the pretense to leadership is completely hollow because there are twice as many ROTC-produced officers in the service as there are academy officers. They don't do anything like what we do at the service academies. Their lives are not controlled. They don't get involved in the falderal, what I call the Mickey Mouse pretense, and so on. They're not producing leaders any more than ROTC is producing leaders.
Well, you've just said a lot of things, and you have the numbers to prove many of them. For instance, the lack of officers coming out of the academies. You quoted that number, less than 20%. You say part of this is because it's not just that the academies don't take the best and the brightest anymore. They slide people through. They recruit students.
No, they absolutely do.
Yeah, they don't. The physical part of the schooling, that they're supposed to be this physicality, but students at the academy who don't pass physical tests aren't thrown out. They're remediated, that they're not held to a higher moral standard.
No.
The third case, that they get freebies. For instance, if they have drunk driving charges, they get a pass often. So you're saying on every level, you know, physical, academic, moral, the standards aren't as high as they were. But question for you. So where are these students going? Are they not maybe going into the service? And isn't that valuable for the military to have people coming from these academies into the service?
Obviously, as a taxpayer and a citizen, I want a strong military. And in fact, that's part of my beef with the academies, where everybody who graduates from an academy is commissioned. It's not like Georgetown or Johns Hopkins, two local universities to us, or BU or Harvard or MIT, where you graduate and then you take your chances on the open market. We hire all of our graduates.
Let's be clear to people how that works. I mean, you know, my friend, I think, although we were from New York, I think it was Senator Kennedy had to write a letter to get him in. I mean, you can't just decide to go to the Naval Academy.
No, but this thing of people writing letters is vastly overrated. There's some degree of people being able to hook you up, as they say in the military, but a letter even from a Senator Kennedy is not an automatic in.
How do you get in?
You apply. It's an online application. First of all, let me say that we're nowhere near as selective as the academies like to claim we are. We let in the bottom 20% of our class through a back door. This is true of all the service academies. Through a back door of what we call a preparatory school, which is a remedial 13th grade for the kind of student that we have a political investment in these days. Recruited athletes, and we're heavy into affirmative action. We are incredibly heavy into affirmative action. Non-white students who get SAT scores in the mid-500s will be admitted to Annapolis. Self-identified minority students who have SAT scores well below the national average, which is around 500, are accepted at our preparatory school, this remedial 13th grade. And the game name of the game there is to get them from the prep school to Annapolis. So that's about 250 in a class of 1,200. We put them in remedial courses. We put them in dumbed-down majors and so on. So that's part of the lower quarter of our class.
And you say that that's part of lowering the quality at Annapolis and other academies. But let's stay with the affirmative action for a second,
okay.
Because
right.
It is fascinating. The case that's before the Supreme Court right
Absolutely.
Now.
Absolutely. Absolute time.
The military is arguing on the side of the current administration that, in fact, they want to keep this form of affirmative action in place because it, not just at these academies but at other schools. This is a case that involves a Texas school.
That's right.
But they are on the side of this because they say that the military is best when there's more diversity. And I'm not going to get into the whole debate about whether there's a level playing field for low-income and largely minority kids in the U.S. and that they need a little help still because their schools are so pitiful. I'm not going to get into that debate. But the military is standing on the side of keeping this affirmative action because they say the military is best when they have it.
Yes, the military has made the case. It made the case in the 2003 Supreme Court ruling that you need a more non-white officer corps. My students are savvy. The enlisted people are savvy. They know that if someone is standing in front of them who potentially has their lives in his or her hands, who they have sussed out is standing there because of his or her skin color, they will completely lose respect for that person. My students are outraged. I'm not 100% of them, but many of them are outraged at the idea that people are chosen for leadership positions at the Naval Academy, for example, clearly because of their skin color. There's a certain infuriating value to, in the military especially, where we're talking about life and death, potentially. And people in the military do tend to have the idea that you're standing where you are, you have the stripes on your shoulder that you have because you have earned them.
Well, and some say that if the military believes in diversity, they could find students with those high standards and remove that doubt. But we asked the Naval Academy about your criticisms. They replied, "The Naval Academy teaches its midshipmen to defend the Constitution of the U.S., which includes defending the right of its faculty members to express their personal opinions. It's not our practice to comment on the personal views of employees, but we stand by our record of producing the nation's finest leaders and welcome others to review the facts on their own." So, Bruce Fleming is going to continue to exercise his free speech in 1 minute, here and now. Welcome back to our conversation with Bruce Fleming, professor of English at the U.S. Naval Academy. He lays out his criticisms of Annapolis and other service academies in an article in the Chronicle of Higher Education. So, Bruce, let's talk about some of your suggestions for fixing things. You say, throw out students who don't meet academic and moral standards, black and white, and the tradition of each class getting to practice leadership on the class below it. I remember the stories from my Naval Academy friend, hazing and also plebes being forced to jog in the hallway, having to swear the corners of their sheets. You say throw that all out. You say the ROTC doesn't have that sort of play acting and they're perfectly adequately producing officers. And you say stop infantilizing students. What do you mean by that?
We attract hard chargers. I'm very fond of the students at Annapolis. And I mean, that's people say, well, Professor Fleming, why do you stay? Well, I stay because I'm completely committed to the ideals of the institution.
That was going to be our question.
And I'm very fond of the students. They're incredibly idealistic, typically. They're hard chargers. They want to believe that what they're doing matters. And they come to the service academies and they find this military Disneyland we were talking about. And they realize that it's not making them better leaders. They themselves are the recipients of this, of someone 1 year older than they are, who basically has their whole existence in his or her hand. They don't like it. They're completely disillusioned.
You say let them live off campus, let them have relations with people. We're talking about sex.
That's right.
You know, let them be older. There's an age requirement. Let older people partake in the academies. But that does that rob it of that feel it would? I mean, then it's just a college.
It is just a college, but that's the question. Why should the military be running colleges after all? I mean, it's a little counterintuitive. Why the military? They weren't always colleges is what you have to understand. And this is where time has marched on, and the military kind of likes these little play toys that they have. So, of course, they're not about to let go of them. In the 19th century, when they were founded, I maintain that they made sense. The perception in the case of the military academy, in the case of the Naval Academy, was that ships had gotten so complex that you couldn't just learn to be an officer by shimmying up the riggings. That's where the title for our students comes from, midshipmen. They went up amidships. It was realized that you had to have a land-based classroom. At the time, if you went to a college, if you went to Harvard, you would be studying classics and religion, most typically. So this was a technically based military school with a lot of engineering in it. And when MIT was founded, I'm told that it was rather looked down on because, you know, gentlemen didn't do practical things like engineering. All that, of course, has completely changed. So any college worth its salt has got engineering courses, has got technical courses. So why is the military still in the business? I maintain that having this military Disneyland negatively impacts the academics. So it's not even a very good college. We get incredibly high rankings for a lot of wrong reasons. One of them I've already mentioned is that we claim we're more selective than we are. And there are several other reasons. We do graduate, the students that we graduate inside of 6 years, but that's also because we're military. We force them to take the courses over. We own them during the summers. They can take courses they've flunked. We can forcibly put them in easier majors and so on, all these things that a civilian school doesn't have access to. So they just don't make sense anymore, especially since, to go back to a fundamental point here, they produce officers that are one in five, and they're going to be working right next to people who did none of this. Why?
Well, you say if we're going to do it in the way some of the other military schools around the world do it. You point to the Royal Military College of Canada. You say they've loosened some of the controls on the students and haven't infantilized them and given them more mature choices to make, things like that. You also point to other schools around the world that do academics for 3 months and then military training so that these young people, you say, who come to Annapolis expecting Paris Island and getting instead Disneyland would get, you know, real deep training for like a month, military training that you say they want, they crave.
They do.
But are you really overall saying, you know, instead of those fixes, other fixes you mentioned, don't pay them?
Right.
They get benefits.
Why should they be in the military? People at ROTC are not in the military.
Right. And ROTC, as you've said, does just as well in producing officers. You say don't pay them. Maybe come up with a woman to lead the whole thing instead of having
a great idea.
Yep. You say it's now older men trying to force younger men to do what they say to get some respect. But it sounds like you're really saying don't even make those fixes. Get rid of them. Really? Get rid of them.
I'm not quite as hard-edged as I may come off. And I can understand that people like them. We spend an incredible amount of money on the military bands, for example. They don't help us win wars, but they're nice to have, and we can afford them. So if we want to have undergraduate colleges that are military academies, and the taxpayers make that decision knowingly, I don't see any reason why not. The point is they're not making a decision now because the military doesn't have to make the case. The military has an incredible sense of entitlement about these places.
But is that calculable? In other words, we just did a story on West Point and the history of, I think, football there. And again, I knew someone very close to me who went to Annapolis. That sense of pride, it sounds like you're saying it's a lot of money, taxpayer money, to pay for a sense of pride.
No, absolutely not. The bill for pride is, I mean, it doesn't exist. I mean, pride is non-negotiable. I think it's a great thing. My argument is that it's the people who have real pride in the service academies are the people who don't know anything about them. If you could walk around Annapolis with a microphone, with the freedom to talk to my students, you would get such a face full of bitterness. I think it would knock you back on your socks. So I don't see the pride. I see, gee, I wish it had been better. A lot of them are unsure that they're even seeing it right because the administration keeps telling them this nonsense about you're the best and the brightest. Actually, they're not. Our SAT scores are lower than our state university, which is the University of Maryland. They get this barrage of this is a happy place. Everybody's held to a higher standard. And they look around them and they realize it's not true.
That's Bruce Fleming, an English teacher at the U.S. Naval Academy in Annapolis. The Naval Academy, by the way, has responded to Bruce's thinking by saying he has the right to say it. And Bruce, again, it's just amazing that you are saying it and you're still there.
Successive administrations have tried to get me to shut up. But if they want to run a college and if they want to have civilian professors to give them some credence, they're just going to have to put up with somebody saying, hey, you claim that all these things are true. Now prove it. I'd like to have them prove it.
Again, Bruce Fleming of the Naval Academy in Annapolis. Thank you so much.
Okay.
So, your thoughts. Are you a graduate of West Point, Annapolis, or the U.S. Coast Guard and Air Force Academies? Is Bruce out of line, on the mark? Let us know. Hereandnow.org. Latest news is next. Here and Now.